order my steps. In your word, lead me, guide me every day. Sing your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps. Please order my steps in your word. Humbly I ask thee, teach me your will while you're working. Help me be still. Satan is busy, God is real. Order my steps, please. Order my steps. Humbly I ask you, teach me your will while you are working. Help me be still. Satan is busy, but my God, he's real. Order my steps in your word, please. Order my steps. I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please, order my steps. I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing. Lord, you are still the same. If you will order my steps, Lord, I'll praise your name. I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please order my steps. I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing, but you are still the same. Please order my steps, Lord. I pray, Lord, Lord, I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please order my steps, Lord. I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing, but you are still the same. If you please order my steps, I'll praise your name.
If you order my step, I'll praise your name. He's already ordered our steps. He's ordered our steps. What we have to be willing to do is to walk in where he's taken us. See, when you read the Bible, you find out what he wants you to do. Tell you how he wants you to live. That's why I ask for those who will, please read the Proverbs, because the wisdom of the Proverbs about how you live your life, how we are to conduct ourselves as believers, that's him ordering our steps. You read the Proverbs and start to apply those areas of your life that maybe you are currently not walking the way the Lord would have you walk. And your steps will be ordered. Amen. God is good. Amen. And I've just made up my mind in 2019, I'm not going to try to convince anybody else that God is good. Either you believe it or you don't. In spite of what we go through. Listen, why we think we're supposed to get through life and not have some trials and troubles because we're Christians? Because that's not what the Bible tells us. But he told us that we will overcome by our faith in him.
Right.
We're supposed to be the ones that can look at folks and say, when I was at my worst, I still had hope because I had Jesus. And I knew somehow, some way, he was going to work it out. That should be our testimony. To God be the glory. We're going to have some stuff to go through. But God will see us through. He'll do it. He'll do it. There are some witnesses here right now that will tell you he'll do it. He'll do it. But you have to want to believe that he'll do it. Amen. If God is good to you, I started to say if he has been. If God is good to you, come on, stand up right now. Tell him thank you. Glory, hallelujah to your name. Now, if he's not good to you, if he's not good to you, and you can stand, but if he's not good to you, you keep your seat. But if he's good to you and you can't stand, just say hallelujah right there where you're sitting. Glory to his name. While you stand, and Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you now for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord God, use me as you will. At the end of the day, there's one person that I've got to please, and that's you. So help me to be humble, Lord. Above all else, to be humble and to want my heart's desire to be that you be pleased. And I pray for every one of my church family members and everybody who's visiting the body of Christ Universal and this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the my sisters and brother in ministry, especially want to recognize Reverend Dr. Veronica Lofton, Pastor Veronica Lofton, who is so humble that she would go have her own service at 9:30 this morning and leave after that service was over and come here to be with us. And like I said, and I don't mind saying it publicly, that's a spirit of Christ, that you want to support somebody else. You know, she's had her service. They had their church for the day. And she could be anywhere doing whatever she wanted to do, but she still felt that she wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And she chose to come here. And for that, Dr. Lofton, we thank you. We thank you, Dr. Lofton. Thank God for you. To the officers, members, visiting friends of Roanoke-Salem, on this Sunday morning, the first Sunday in January, I'm just so thankful to God to be here. And I won't be before you long. I know I've done a lot of talking this morning. I can feel eyes on me, but I'm going to keep going. I'm hurt. I'm going to shut up and get on out the way. Go to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, please. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Very familiar passages of scripture to many of us. Jesus is here, and he is, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up on the mountaintop. The Bible says he got set. He set himself and his disciples. Now, that was the 12 and then literally thousands of other people who were following him at that time. They all came up on that mountainside to hear Jesus teach. And you can read for yourself what he said in verses 1 through 13. But when we get to verse number 14, let me read this to you from the New International. Some of you may have the King James. Here's what Jesus says, beginning at verse number 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, what they do is they light that lamp and they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Then he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and in this version it says good deeds, in King James, good works, and praise your Father in heaven. In fact, let me read that from the King James, because that's the word I'm going to refer back to. King James, it just simply says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. They see your good works, and then they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Church family, for just a few minutes, ushers, please be seated. I'm sorry. And thank you all for being so So faithful. Look, next time I don't say it soon enough, you just tell me, wave at me, and I'll say sit down. Just for a few minutes, let us reason together from this thought, lit up for Jesus. Lit up, L-I-T. Ms. Page, this is probably not proper grammar, so I would ask that you would grade me on a curve for this message, because I know that's not proper English, but it is what it is. Lit up for Jesus. Jehovah God has blessed us, all of us, to begin a new year. And I hope that every one of us has at least one goal, one thing that you may want to accomplish for God in this year. Church family, there's nothing wrong with having resolutions. Not at all. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with setting some goals for yourself for 2019, whether it's health, better health, improved health, finances, amen. Whether it's relationships, whether it's knowledge, whether it's travel, whether it's to acquire more. Nothing wrong with all of that. Why? Because Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, it is the Lord that gives us the power to obtain wealth. So God ain't mad with us for having more, having bigger, having better. Not at all. As long as we still give him the glory and we still keep him first. Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money, which means I can have all I want to as long as I don't love it more than I love God. But that ain't what we're here to talk about today. But if we love Jesus Christ, we should also want to do something this year that pleases him. Let's call it a God goal. Let's call it a God goal. Here's my God goal for 2019. I want to be lit up for Jesus Christ. Every day. That's my goal for 2019. I want to be lit up for Jesus every day. Now that phrase, and some of y'all know that phrase, don't sit here and get like you don't know what lit up mean. Some of us know it real good. Some of us know it from our past. Some of us know it recently. We know what it means to be lit up. Lit up means a lot of different things to different people, just depending on who's using it. Amen. If I'm a pothead, amen. Lit up means to be high on marijuana. And the church said, amen. Y'all know. Yeah, y'all know. I know. If I'm inclined to drink too much beer or alcohol, lit up means I'm drunk. Amen. Here's another way people use it. If I get into a fight and the other person beats my behind, y'all gonna run around laughing at me and say, Lord, horse that got in the fight, and Brother Taylor lit him up. Brother Taylor lit him up from one side of that parking lot to the other. Here's another example. If I'm energized and excited about doing something that I want to do, I can be lit up emotionally. And that's the way I want you to think about being lit up for Jesus this morning. Being energized and being excited about doing something for him. I've been lit up for my own reasons. Amen, I have been. Now I want to be lit up for Jesus. If you don't have a God goal in 2019, I'm happy to share mine with you. Please give me a few minutes, just a few minutes, and I'm going to talk to you about Matthew 5, 14, and 16, and maybe I can convince some other people to want to be lit up for Jesus with me. Let me begin by saying that in those verses of scripture, Jesus is preaching and teaching. Jesus says that born again, baptized believers are supposed to be a spiritual light to non-believers. Now, that's what we're supposed to be. Born again, baptized believer. I got a witness, Dr. Lofton. We're supposed to be spiritual lights to non-believers. Jesus says that when unsaved folk see a Christian's light, they should also see our good works and give God the glory for our good works. Amen. Take none of God's glory for ourselves. To understand these verses better, we need to focus in on three things. Let's talk about the light. Let's talk about the good works. And then let's talk about glorifying the Father. First, let's start with the light. The light that Jesus is talking about is a metaphor for the way Christians should live. We know that the root cause of sin is spiritual wickedness. Sin creates a darkness on the inside of a person, and it shows up on the outside. Sin creates a darkness, Monte, on our inside, but then people see it on our outside. They see it by our attitude. They see it by what we say. They see it by how we live. Amen? Amen. This world that you and I live in, is mostly a dark place. Why? Because there are millions, perhaps billions of people living in sin. Now, let me say this. Everybody that lives in sin is not necessarily evil in the sense that they have evil intent. So I'm always quick to try to make sure we understand. I'm not saying that everybody living in sin is a bad person. There are some absolutely wonderful people who are living in sin. Why? Because the definition of sin, my own definition is, if your thoughts and your words, Ronald Selma's heard me say this several times before, if your thoughts and your words and your actions are contrary to God's, you are living in sin. Be just as nice and generous as you want to be. But if your thoughts and your words and your actions are consistently contrary to what God says, you are living in sin. Where there is sin, there's lawlessness. Where there is sin, there's hopelessness. Where there is sin, there's selfishness. Where there is sin, there is spiritual wickedness in high places. In high places. It's not just the person on the street or somewhere in the community that's doing wrong. No, some sin is very sophisticated. There's high-tech sin, too. That's why I can be an investor and get all of your money that I'm supposed to be investing for your retirement and put it in my account and go to sleep at night, think nothing about it. That's spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why I can say I know there's folks somewhere in America that are starving and they don't have jobs, or they don't have jobs that pay them enough through no fault of their own, but I can still pass a law. I can still support legislation that means cutting off what little support they may already be given. Why? Because I got mine. I got mine. They just have to do what they got to do. That's spiritual wickedness in high places. Mankind fell into sin after the devil seduced us into disobeying God way back in the Garden of Eden. I said seduced us. Yeah, and I've been guilty of this myself. 2019, I'm going to stop blaming Adam and Eve because it won't just them. See, because, and I'm going to tell you why, spiritually speaking, because when God died on that cross, it won't just for Adam and Eve. He died for all of our sins. So I might as well have been standing right there with Eve and Adam when they decided to do wrong. Because Jesus knew that somewhere down the road, when I came into the world, I was going to do wrong too, and that's why he died. So he didn't just die. Adam and Eve were the ones that started it, but it might as well have been you and me too. Amen. But the devil does not have control over mankind. We are God's holy creation. We're made in his own image. Bible says he made us and puts up positions just a little lower than the angels. The devil doesn't have control over mankind. He cannot have control over us because, number one, God created us. And number two, Jesus redeemed us to God when he died and rose again. The devil does not have control of you. You can let the devil use you if you want to, but the devil does not have control of you. I hope and I pray that everybody sitting here this morning knows there is no spiritual war going on between God and the devil. You know, TVs and books and television shows preach that nonsense. It's a lie. There's no war going on between God and the devil. God can crush the devil when he gets ready. In fact, he's already decided what's going to happen to him. God is like an elephant and the devil is like an ant. And God can step on him and crush him whenever. There's no war. Wouldn't even be a devil if there was not God. Well, how can that be? Because God created the devil. His name was Lucifer. He was an angel. He got big-headed. He got arrogant. God kicked him and a third of the angels out of heaven. But there's no war going on between God and the devil. So the devil did not make you do it. The devil whispered in your ear, and then I just did it. Yeah, he didn't make me do it. I just chose to do it, Brother Jesse. He might have motivated me now, but I still didn't have to say yes. But if I said yes, that's because I wanted to. Amen. Jesus died and rose again. God created us. That's why the devil does not have any control over us. And we as Christians, we are part of a spiritual wall of protection that the devil cannot tear down. Our president wants to build a wall. I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to say this. It ties into the message. Our president wants to build a wall to keep folks out. Well, that's what we are, church folks, Christians, saved folks. We are a wall. We are a wall in this natural world, this earth realm, between the devil and all those unsaved folks. Why are we the wall? Because we might have the opportunity to get to them before the devil does. We stand between him and them. You don't know right now on your job, in your community, in your family, that you're the only thing keeping somebody from falling sure enough into sin, because they think about you and they think about what you've been through and they remember how you gave God glory. And at the church gathering or at the family reunion, they remember how they heard you pray and you gave God praise even when you were in the midst of your health issue, even after you had lost your job. Let me get real, Will. Even after your husband or your wife had left you, you were still giving God glory. Amen. Even after somebody said something to hurt your feelings, embarrass you, even after you were mistreated, they heard you still saying, God, Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. And they think about you before they let the devil have his way. Amen. So we are a spiritual wall of protection that the devil cannot tear down. Remember that about yourself. I'm going to tell you what. Let's go back to the word. Jesus said we are a light of the world. Jesus said we are the light of this world. In the spiritual world, light always defeats darkness. Amen. Amen. If we cut the lights out in here, if it was pitch black, if it was nighttime, if somebody just took out a match, it would light up a large section of this church. If four or five folks took out matches in the pitch dark, it would light up the whole sanctuary. Light always defeats darkness. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. God the Father is the source of our light. We are connected to God the Father because we have a relationship with Jesus. Prove it from the word, Reverend. Here you go. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Write this down, please, for your reading later on. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Amen. This is what it says. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in God is no darkness at all. All right, here we go. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as God is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, in fellowship with God, in obedience to his word, then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from our sin. That's why we can pray when we slip and fall. That's why we can go on our knees and ask God for forgiveness, because we have fellowship with God and Jesus' blood will cover us. Amen. Now let's talk about good works. We engage in good works when we put our faith into action. James chapter 2, if you read James chapter 2, the second chapter of James, the writer says that it's not enough for Christians to have faith in Jesus. He says we must also do works. We must take actions that share the love of Jesus Christ with other Christians and with unsaved people. James gives some examples. Again, if you read for yourself, the second chapter of James, he gives some examples of good works. He talks about giving food and clothing and shelter to people in need. And then he gives that the example of Abraham and his son Isaac, how Abraham was willing to kill his son Isaac in order to be obedient to God. And that was counted towards him as his good works. Amen. Then he also gives the example, James does, of Rahab, the harlot, and the spies from Israel. How when the spies were found out to be where they weren't supposed to be, instead of turning them into the king, and the king was looking for them, Rahab hid the spies so that they could get away. And then when they came back to take over, they saved her and her family. That was Rahab's good works, Monte. Yeah, she had been what she had been. Yeah, she had been a woman of the world. Some of us been men and women of the world, too. Some of us one step removed from being men and women of the world right now, if it were not for the love of Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all not. I am. All right, so everybody else can take a deep breath. I am. I'm one step removed from being a man of the world if it were not for the restraining power of Jesus Christ. Because I want to be lit up for him. Amen. So that was her good works. So now, good works is putting our faith into action. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 39. Y'all know this. We talked about it a few times last year. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 39. Jesus tells the story about when he returns to earth. He says he's going to separate the sheep who do good works from the goats who do no good works. He talks about the things that the sheep did to minister to people who needed help. Then the sheep asked Jesus, when did we do any of these things for you, Lord? And in verse number 40, Jesus says, when the sheep did good works for the least of the people, they did it unto him also. So our good works is putting our faith into action. When I pray for you, that's my good works. When I see you on the street and you say you want $2, and I go in my pocket and give you $2. Now, some folks say, you know, folk beg all the time. They ain't going to do nothing with that money. You don't know what they're going to do. All you can know is why you giving it to them. You give it to them for the right reason. That's your good works. When you hold your tongue and hold your peace, when somebody has said something to you and you have every right to come out your bag and be who you really want to be sometimes, but you don't. And what keeps you from doing that is you listen to the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. No, I know you're mad, but don't you say that. You're restraining yourself in obedience to the Lord. That's your good works. Amen. Finally, we come to the term glorify the Father. We know that Jesus is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Savior of this world. But when he walked on the earth, Jesus always glorified God the Father. So it's not surprising that Jesus wants us to give God all the glory too. I know that's right because in St. John chapter 14, verse 13, St. John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says, whatever we ask in his name, he will do. He says, so the Father will be glorified in the Son. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. This is what it says. If any man speak as if it were oracles, messages from God. If any man ministers from the strength that God gives you. Listen, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Jesus represents God the Father. Christians are supposed to represent Jesus. So we shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to be lit up for Jesus in 2019. When we're lit up for Jesus, his love, his grace, his mercy will shine from inside of us and be seen by people on the outside. In other words, being lit up for Jesus means that we let our little light shine everywhere we are. An outdoor fire draws moths. Y'all know that, right? Draws moths. A lit up Christian will draw unsaved people. When we talk with unsaved folk, we can tell them and we can show them that Jesus loves them. When we're lit up for Jesus, we will encourage unsaved people to give their lives to Jesus and get saved. And then they'll be lit up too. Some people right here sitting in this congregation, I ain't trying to call nobody out. Some folks got lit up last year for Jesus. Yeah, you made a decision to give your life to Jesus. There are some folks here, last year you already saved. But somewhere during the calendar year, somewhere in those 365 days, you decided that you weren't as close to the Lord as you wanted to be and as you needed to be. So you made a decision to start drawing closer to him. How are you going to draw closer to Jesus? How are you going to get lit up if you're already saved? Well, number one, pray more. Pray more. Pray more to Jesus this year. Talk to him more. I'm saying talk to him separate from praying now. You can talk to him through prayer, but you can talk to him, and it's not a prayer too. I ride down the highway, and I know folk think I'm crazy because I'm talking to Jesus, and they don't see nothing in my ear. They go, no, he ain't on the phone because we don't see nothing in his ear. He's just crazy. Talk to Jesus. Just like you have conversation with folks you already talked to, talk to the Lord. The Lord listens all the time. The Bible says his ear is always open to the prayers and the supplications. That's not prayer. Of the righteous. Who are the righteous? You and me. Because we're saved. So pray to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Give God glory. Thank him more in 2019. Just say, God, thank you. It ain't all that I want to be, but thank you. It ain't all that it used to be, thank you. It ain't as bad as it used to be, thank you. I'm looking forward to it getting better, thank you. Thank God more in 2019. I'm talking about how you get lit up. How you get lit up. Pray more. Talk to him more. Give him glory more. And then last but not least, how you get lit up, do more to be a blessing. Do more to be a blessing. Listen, I meant what I said during the early part of the service. In the midst of our storms, now let me be very clear. Storms sometimes come out of situations that we don't have any control over. Amen, right? But sometimes storms come because of what I've done. I created my own storm. But guess what? In the midst of my storm, even if it's my mess, even if it's my own mess, I can still say thank you, Lord, and I can still pray and bless others and find a way to be a blessing. The Bible says that when Job prayed for his friends, he was about dead, church. Job was half dead, and he didn't have any natural prospect to believe that things necessarily was going to get better. Why? Because he had a little talk with Jesus, and he didn't like what God said to him. Yeah, he talked to God, and he didn't like what God responded. But the Bible says that when he stopped thinking about his own situation, and he prayed for his friends, the next verse says, and God turned his situation around. So I'm telling you now, 2019, pray more. Talk to God more. Give God glory more. And be open to and look for opportunities to be a blessing for others. You do those four things day by day as best you can. You will get lit up for Jesus in 2019. Amen. And when we're lit up for Jesus, we fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Roanoke, Salem, we ought to know it by heart. Go ye therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you when? Always, even until the end of the world. That's how you fulfill the Great Commission. You get lit up for Jesus. When you're lit up for Jesus, more love comes into your life. His unconditional love. Why do I need unconditional love? Because I ain't lovable all the time. And he loves me anyway. You ain't lovable all the time neither. Don't believe me, ask somebody in your family. You ain't lovable all the time. Sometimes folk hate to see you coming. I know there's some Friday nights, do you hear that car drive up and drive? Say, oh, Lord, this man is here again. Thought maybe he get lost on his way home, something. He ain't lovable all the time. But God loves us all the time. In spite of ourselves, that's the benefit of being lit up. You get peace in your life. Get some peace about some stuff that you've been worried about, stressed out. The Lord will just give you a sense of peace. And you just say to yourself, you know what? I can't do nothing about that. I'm going to let the Lord handle it. And I'm going to just keep on walking with what I can do. Lord, you take that mess and that stress out of my life. And he'll do it. That's the benefit of being lit up. When you get lit up for Jesus, you get some joy in your life. Even when you're feeling your worst, something will come up on the inside of you. And you'll think back to another time that you were bowed down and at your last and not feeling your best and things weren't going right and you were feeling depressed. And somehow you remember how there was a song that came on that radio. You turn to the Christian channel and that man or woman of God seemed to be preaching exactly to your situation. You run into one of your brothers or sisters in Christ and they just say a word of encouragement on your cell phone. You part of a text ministry. Somebody texts something that day that's exactly for your situation. God will use complete strangers to walk up to you and say something that you know it had to come from. And it gives you joy. It'll just turn your whole thinking around. That's a benefit of being lit up. When you're lit up for Jesus, there'll be some forgiveness. You'll forgive folk, and folk will forgive you. Some of us don't think we need other folks to forgive us. You will lie, you do. You may not appreciate it, but you need some folk to forgive you. And you, most of all, need to be willing to forgive. Because God says if you don't, He won't forgive you. And God doesn't issue no wolf tickets. See, I might send you a wolf ticket. God ain't issuing no wolf tickets. If he say it, it's for real. You're not willing to forgive others? I'm not going to forgive you. Why, Lord? Because of all the stuff you and I both know, I forgave of you. Some stuff you and I know, don't nobody else know, that you don't want nobody else to ever know but me. And I forgave you for it. And that's why he says you got to forgive. But when you lit up for Jesus, you can forgive. Righteousness is a benefit of being lit up for Jesus. You won't be perfect, but you'll be blameless. You'll be covered in the blood for Jesus. I just read that scripture that says that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of our sins. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you lit up for Jesus, you get that righteousness. You get protection when you lit up. There are some things that you and I don't see on our horizons, but God sees them. And all God has to do is just make one little turn and keep some really bad stuff from coming our way. Some stuff in our physical life, some stuff in our personal life, some stuff in our careers, some stuff in our minds that we don't know nothing about, but God sees it all, and he'll protect us. Sometimes we ought to thank God for the stuff that don't happen to us, as much as we thank God for the stuff that does happen to us. We ought to thank him sometimes for what he didn't allow to happen as much as what he did do for us. Amen. I know I got to thank him for it. And then last, when you lit up for Jesus, there are provisions. Get provision. What's provisions? Whatever you need. Provision is whatever you need. You need more money? God got it. Need a better job? God got it. Need a car? God got it. Need a better car? God got it. Need a friend, a real friend, who's going to be there with you, support you, and not try to take advantage of you, not just with you for what they think you can get from you or what you can give them. God's got that. Yeah, need peace of mind. He's got that. Amen. Whatever you need. Need food on your table. God's got it. You may be sitting at home at 3 o'clock not knowing how you're going to eat. And 4:30, somebody come knock on the door and say, you know what, I went to the grocery store and I saw this thing and I thought you might like it. So here, I done bought you a bag of groceries too. Amen. Have you ever been anywhere and sat down at dinner at a public restaurant and the waitress come over and tell you somebody paid for your meal? You don't have a clue who it was? Amen. See, and I've been on both sides. I've had that happen to me and I've been the one that paid the meal a few times too. So God's got all of it, provision, whatever you need, God's got it. That's a benefit of being lit up for Jesus. Amen. So be lit up in 2019. Don't trust nobody else but Jesus. Now, I'm not saying don't trust your family, don't trust your mom. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let your ultimate trust, above all else, when all else fails, let your trust be in Jesus. Amen. Why should you want to be lit up for Jesus? Because Jesus got lit up for you.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he got lit up for you and me. You don't think when he was in the garden and he didn't have to die for us and he was struggling within himself whether or not to go to that cross, at the end of the day, though, he decided, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You don't think that was not a hurting thing? He got lit up for us. He knew what was facing him. He knew that when they were going to take him to Pilate's judgment hall, folk were going to slap him in his face. He knew that people were going to pull the very hair out of his beard, pull it out of his face. You think about that if you got a beard. You think about how it feels to just pull one hair off your face and somebody grab a handful of hair and wrench and turn your face till they pull it out. But he went through that for you and me. You think about somebody put a crown of thorns on your head. And as soon as they put it down, the pain is so terrible, you immediately start to have blood come out everywhere those thorns are sticking in. You think about when somebody's standing there calling you everything but a child of God, and you haven't done anything but going around helping people. That's all you've done. You think about doing that, but Jesus did that. He got lit up for you and for me. You think about when folks lying on you. Know they lying on you, and everybody in the room is in on the lie, and the only person that knows the truth is you and the Lord, and ain't nobody standing up for you. Johnny Cochran ain't there for you. He gone to glory. Hope he gone to glory. Ain't nobody there. Matlock ain't there for you. Perry Mason ain't there for you. Olivia Pope can't come in and save the day for you. You think about that now. He got lit up for you and for me. Then they took him and beat him almost half to death. And it wasn't no ordinary beating, Calvin. Oh, they threw some kicks up in there too. Yeah, they beat Jesus so bad, you could see his bones in his back. His flesh was laid bare. And people still slapping him. People still kicking on him. People still calling him everything but a child of God. He got lit up in a physical sense for you and for me. That won't all. He's half dead, probably done lost half the blood of his body. Y'all know what happens when you lose too much blood. You get weak and you get faint. That didn't stop them. They made Jesus carry that 300-pound cross for several miles and up a hill. They made him do that, but he did it willingly. He was willing to get lit up for you and for me. He could have said, it's over, it's finished. Don't nobody put another hand on me, and everybody around him would have fallen dead that he wanted to fall dead. But he did not do that. He was willing to get lit up. So he let them put those railroad stakes in his hand and put those railroad stakes in his feet. He let them pierce him in his side. He let them give him vinegar to drink instead of water when he was thirsty. He was willing to get lit up for you and for me. He let them take him off that cross. Put him in a borrowed tomb. Jesus had come from heaven, y'all. All the glory and riches of the world belonged to him. But he let them put him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there Friday. All Saturday. On early Sunday morning. He was already lit up. But then he got up. He got up with all power. In heaven. On earth. Under the earth, Jesus got up with all power. All power. Can you imagine how they felt? Not only the ones that believed in him, but the ones that killed him. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw Jesus? Didn't we just kill him 2 days ago? And here he is, back again. He still got the nails in his hand, but he's alive. He still got the nails in his feet, but he's alive. He still got the wound in his side from where I stuck that spear up in under his ribs, but he's still alive, and he has all power. Jesus literally got lit up, willingly got lit up. And the street folk know what I'm talking about when I say somebody light you up, physically speaking. He got lit up for you and me. Willingly. So now we ought to be willing to be lit up for him. He's not asking us to do anything but to trust him. Do our best to obey him. And here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus knows you. And Jesus knows me. And he knows where we're weak. He knows what our temptations, let me just be real. He knows what our temptations are. He knows the things that'll make us disobey. But he said, if you ask me, I'll even help you with those things. I'll put a wall of protection around you to keep you from sinning against me. You know what? If you sin against Jesus, you have to want to. Yeah. Because there's already a hedge of protection around you. The sin doesn't come into you. You got to step out the hedge of protection to sin. You know that, don't you? That's what the devil told the Lord about Job. He said, Lord, you got a hedge of protection around him. I can't get to him unless you remove it or unless Job steps out of it. And Job won't going to step out of it. Matter of fact, that's how the story begins. It tells us that Job was a man considered perfect in God's eyes, because an upright man. Because why? He did not do any evil. So Job didn't step outside the hedge of protection. The only way the devil got to Job is God agreed to remove his hedge of protection. Same thing for you and me. We got a hedge of protection around us everywhere we go. You got to step outside of it. You got to step outside of it. Or in the case of Job, like Job, the Lord, if he, in his divine providence, if he chooses to remove it, you better believe he's got a reason. Let me tell you what the number one reason is, because he believes he can trust you. Now, you think about that the next time you get ready to sin. God trusts you so much, he'll let the devil have at you, because he said, my son and my daughter going to stand firm. I don't care what the devil throws his or her way. I trust my child. And then he's going to bless you for being obedient, for standing firm. Will we stumble sometime? Yes. But if we fall 70 times, seven times, God will forgive us if we ask him. And if we get up and are determined to keep walking, keep doing right, he'll bless us. He'll help us. 2019 is our year, church family. Regardless of what may come our way, 2019 is our year. 2019 is our year. We're going to shine, and we're going to help some folk come to know the Lord right here in this community this year. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. If you're unsaved, if you've never given your